All right, Carrie, thank you for joining us today. And you are my special guest for my first podcast of my actual first show and in what's called Charlie's Bunker.
Woo! Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for joining me. It is awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, I have here an expert in diets and meals and food. Now, usually I do play this on TV and I am not an expert, but I love bringing experts so they can actually talk to us a little bit more about better information, better knowledge, and we can actually share it to the world because I believe in sharing information. So I'm going to introduce my guest. Like I said, her name is Carrie Elizabeth, and she actually graduated from Benedict University in Loyola, Illinois, and she's been practicing, a practicing dietitian since 2017 for the last 3 years, and she works at Sodexo at Mount Sinai Hospital. Thank you very much for joining me, Carrie. Tell us about yourself, please.
So happy to be here. yes, exactly like you said, I've been a dietitian for the past 3 years. The reason I became a dietitian is because I love food, everything about it, talking about it, eating it, cooking it, everything. So this was the profession for me. So hopefully I can answer some of your nutrition questions today.
You know what? That's a very good point because I also love food. I love mainly eating it. I don't like cooking it.
Yeah,
so
that's
much.
The best part.
Yeah, no, I don't like. I know. I don't like cooking it so much. My actually wife, she always asks me, why can you cook more often? And I keep telling her because I don't know how to cook food. I'm the one that burns boiled water. I don't know how I do it. I even seriously burn a bowl of cereal and I just pour the milk in. It's a gift. It's a gift. I seriously believe that. So I want to start with basic information about food. There's so much information when it comes to the food. And, you know, I find it hard to believe that something so simple as putting food in water has so much misinformation, you know, when it comes to that. And when I actually started working with people like yourself, dietitians, they keep talking about different types of food. They were talking about proteins and carbs and vegetables. And me being Hispanic, whenever I heard carbs, I always heard, you know, some delicious food, but it was really hard for us to consume, mainly because in our culture, diabetes and us, we go hand in hand. You know, we eat so many carbs, and I always thought that carbs was actually pork or beef, you know, and we grew up thinking, yeah, if I have diabetes and I stop eating pork, I'm going to be fine. So the first question for you is, can you explain to us what is the difference between all the types of food when it comes to protein, carbs, and vegetables?
That is an excellent question. And the example that you gave is something that is not just you. It's something I hear people say all the time that they think, oh, yes, if I just stop eating beef or pork, or, you know, they're confused about what a carb is. So if we think about food, just at, you know, what food is made of, all of our food is really made up of three things. And those are carbohydrates, or we just usually say carbs, proteins, and fats would actually be the third big nutrient that are found in foods. So all the calories that you're getting from your food, everything that you know you're taking in from your food is pretty much coming from those three things: carbs, fat, and protein. And they're all really important, and they all do different things for us. Protein helps us to build muscles. Carbs give us energy. Even fats, we think about, you know, oh, we shouldn't have a lot of fat in our diet. But we really do need a good amount of fat in our diet because fats do a lot of things for our body. All of our hormones, for example, are made of fats. So we do need healthy fats in our diet too. So each one of the three big nutrients, they do a lot for us and they're important to us.
That's actually very interesting to know, because when I think of proteins, the first thing I think of, it's an avocado. But then somebody told me that an avocado is a fruit, but then we use it as a vegetable. So if I hear something like, oh, you can't eat avocados. You can't eat avocados because then you're going to, you know, affect your diabetes. And I'm like thinking, okay, well, how is it going to affect my diabetes if it's a vegetable? And then you have this argument about, no, it's a protein or it's a carb or is this or is that. And I think people get so caught up in that misinformation that we just give up entirely. We're like, listen, I'm just going to eat it. And if it kills me, it kills me. That's it. At least I'm going to, you know, go happy. But you mentioned that proteins actually help you with muscles. Can you give a little more example of what foods? Because I know there's proteins that are not considered meat, or they don't have to be only meat. There's other proteins. So what kind of proteins are good for you to gain muscle?
So absolutely, there's lots of different types of protein foods, and it does not have to be meat, even though meat does tend to be a good source of protein. And I'm talking about anything from, you know, beef, pork, chicken, turkey. Fish is a great source of protein. If we want to go into, you know, non-animal products entirely, there are even plant sources of protein. You know, beans give us some protein, lentils, things like that. So incorporating some of those plant-based sources of protein in your diet is great for two reasons. A, you're getting the protein, and B, you're getting the, you know, fiber and all the nutrients that come from eating plant foods as well.
Interesting. Me, myself, actually, I've been trying to gain more muscle. I've been working out what's called a one-punch man workout, and pretty much consists of 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and a 10-kilometer run. It killed me at the beginning, but I've noticed that I was getting leaner, but not muscular. What was the mistake that I made there?
Well, I don't know that I would be able to just pinpoint it down to one mistake. But I would say that, I mean, all of the strength exercises that you're doing are building muscle, but they're also burning, you know, calories and carbs as well. When you're exercising, you know, carbs is really the main source for your energy when you exercise. So a lot of times people ask about, you know, what sort of things should you eat around a workout? It's recommended before you work out to have, you know, maybe in the hour before you work out to have something that's just carbs, right? Just something quick carbs, easy digestible, a piece of fruit, something like that, some crackers. After your workout, that's where you want to get something with carbs and something with protein in it, because then that's helping to rebuild like all the, you know, muscle work that you did during your workout. So maybe incorporating some more protein in like in the after workout might have helped build up the muscle mass a little bit more.
Got it. Now, you mentioned the carbs. Let me go into the carb section now, because there are a lot of plants or fruits and vegetables that are considered carbs that we do not know about. And again, I'm basically coming from a culture where you're eating tortillas, and they're like, oh, no, that's not a carb. That's not going to raise my sugar level. And now with my experience listening to dietitians and experts like you, I know that that's going to bring it way too much if you eat a certain amount of food. But we don't know exactly what a carb is. So can you give us examples of a carb?
Absolutely. Carbs take on all different forms and food groups and shapes and sizes. So it's, you know, not all carbs are the same, but carbs tend to be anything that's a fruit or a vegetable, anything that's a starch. So think about your breads, your rice, your pasta, your tortillas, anything that's a starchy food is going to be a carb. Dairy products also have carbs in them because milk has natural sugar, you know, lactose. That's what lactose is milk sugar. So milk and cheese and things like that are all going to have some carbs as well. So, you know, everything that I just mentioned, you know, that's a wide variety of food groups right there. You got your dairy, your grains, your fruits, and your vegetables. So when people like to tell me, oh, I'm just not going to eat any carbs, well, you'd have to give up, you know, most foods if you really didn't want to eat any carbs. That's why those diets aren't usually, they don't usually last long.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I've noticed, too, that when you mention anyone, doesn't matter who it is or the culture or the heritage, when you say don't eat carbs, the first complaint they say is, so what am I going to eat? because pretty much everything has carbs. And they get a little discouraged. And again, they go back to the, you know, if it's going to affect me, whatever, what else am I going to eat? So what will be a good example of a balanced protein and a carb meal?
So, yeah, I mean, first of all, anyone who tries to tell you, oh, you got to stop eating carbs, you know, just don't listen to that person. They don't know what they're talking about. We all need carbs. Even people with diabetes, right? Even if with diabetes, you still need carbs for energy. And there is a way to get that energy through healthy carbs in healthy portion sizes that hopefully are not going to raise up your sugar too much. So if we want to take a look at what, you know, a nice balanced meal would be, I always say for a good balanced meal, you want to have at least three food groups, maybe even four. So we could start with our starch. And let's say you wanted to have a meal that had tortillas in it, right? Mm-hmm. You could do a couple corn tortillas. That's a whole grain right there because it's got the corn in it.
Yeah.
So that's going to have more fiber, right? So it's kind of like sometimes it's about choices. It's about, am I going to choose a starch that's low fiber, white bread, white rice, things like that? Or can I make a choice for a whole grain for a starch that's got more fiber in it that's going to be a little bit healthier for me? Okay, we can have some beef on our meal, right? Uh-huh. Nothing wrong with beef, especially if we get a little bit of a leaner cut, right? A little bit lower in fat. Generally, we want our beef, our protein, to take up about a quarter of our plate. So a quarter of our meal would be our beef. We've already got our starch in our tortillas. So I would say the next food group we got to hit is vegetables. So my recommendation would be, how many vegetables can we try to add to this meal, right?
Yeah. Now I think that's where the downfall comes in, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not a vegetable lover. I don't, you know, like for example, my mom, I remember forever, she made me eat lentils, or if it's even considered a vegetable, because it sounds more like it's a protein now. See, that's what I'm telling you. All my life I've thought that lentils were vegetables, and apparently now they're not. They're proteins.
You know what? They're a little bit of both, right? Okay. There are some foods that kind of act as double agents in two food groups, so to speak.
Okay. So that's good to know, because again, I really dislike lentils, but my mother made me eat lentils like there was no tomorrow. I seriously would sit on the table for 3 hours and not eat until I, you know, like the Mexican mother, just get whacked in the head and then hardly eat it. but yeah, vegetables, it's my downfall. I'm not really a vegetable eater. I like meat more, but there are some vegetables that I do like, for example, cucumbers. I don't know if that's even a vegetable. Is that a vegetable?
That's a vegetable. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So like a good Mexican, I put lemon, hot sauce, salt, and I eat my pepino, like we call it, cucumber. And it's
no,
delicious.
No tajin? No tajin on the cucumber?
No, because I'm like old school Mexican. So I put like Valentina hot sauce. So I enjoy it with that. But tajin is really good too. Now,
that's what I put on my cucumber.
That's a good point. I know it's just like a little, what's it called? Condiment to the, to this meal, to this vegetable. But is that good for me? Is that going to, you know, raise my blood sugar or my blood pressure? I mean, it's kind of salty. So I don't know. How do I manage that?
So I would say, you know, I would watch the amount of salt that you're putting on there, especially if you're already adding something like hot sauce, which probably has some salt in it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the cucumber itself is, you know, giving you a little bit of fiber. It's not, you know, it's maybe not the most nutrient dense vegetable out there, but it's, you know, if you're snacking on cucumbers instead of snacking on potato chips, the cucumbers, that's the better choice, right?
Yeah, no, and it tastes delicious too. We actually also eat carrots with lemon and hot sauce. Apparently we love lemon. We put it in our tequila. So yay for lemon, but that's one of the things that a lot of our community nowadays do not like to eat, and that is the vegetables. And especially
vegetables are a challenge for so many people, and I sympathize because I am not a vegetable lover at heart either. It's a struggle for me, and just like you, I have like, you know, those nightmare memories of things that your mother would serve when you were a kid. For me, it's canned green beans. Like that's my, Like, I'm still triggered when I see a can of green beans.
My wife recently wanted me to eat cauliflower, and that's another one that I just cannot. And she made little patties of cauliflower, and she goes, try it. And I go, nope. And I just like, no, I can't eat them. Seriously, that's just the one that I cannot. But that's something that we all have a struggle, like you said, right?
But truly, a lot of people struggle with it. What I like to say is, you know, just don't give up on vegetables, right? Just, we got to keep trying. If that's the best we can do as people, I mean, you know, none of us are perfect. No one's going to, I'm not telling anyone, hey, you got to wake up tomorrow and suddenly eat 5 servings of vegetables when you're used to eating none, right? None of us are going to do that. But we got to just keep trying, right? And so that could mean keep trying different kinds of vegetables. There's lots of different kinds of vegetables out there. And so maybe the ones you've tried, you haven't liked so much, but you know, next time you're at the store, if there's something new, give it a try. You might like it. The second thing is try different methods of cooking the vegetables. That's the big one for a lot of people. Because certain people have said, oh, I can't stand Brussels sprouts, right? Because I've only ever had them boiled or I've only ever had them steamed. But wait, could you try them grilled? Could you try them roasted? Could you, you know, cook them in a different way, make them taste better? Now suddenly you can eat Brussels sprouts again.
And that's, you know, that's a good always, point.
Uh-huh. Yeah, playing around with like the way you're preparing things and how you're cooking and new recipes. You know, just keep trying, right? I mean, it's like you said, none of us are going to just wake up tomorrow and magically love vegetables. I wish we would, but it's not going to happen. but we just got to keep trying.
And that's one of the, another point that you're bringing, the way we make the food. Sometimes we go to a restaurant and let's say, for example, I love Thai food and I know they cook with a lot of vegetables too that I know, right? Like the pad thai, I love vegetable pad thai, and they put mushrooms, and they put broccoli, and they put carrots, and peanuts. But then you have a lot of the pasta. So that itself brings a lot of calories. So how do I manage that? I see a big plate. I love to eat. I just cannot just say, you know what? I don't have the self-control to say, you know what? I'm just going to eat half of this, and I'm going to save the rest for later. I think about it. And I try to do it, but then once it's already in front of me, the next thing I know, it's gone. So what would be a good recommendation for that?
That's a tough one, but I would say the first thing is, you say, you know, when it's in front of you, it's just going to be gone. Well, get it away from in front of you, right? I mean, if you have to literally dish yourself out a plate, then put the rest of it away, stick it in the back of the fridge, and walk away. And in an hour or two, if you're really still hungry, okay, go back and have a little bit more. But give yourself that time. Let your food digest. Let, you know, you probably half an hour later will realize, oh, yeah, I'm full. I had all I needed to have, right? But when that food is sitting in front of us, when that takeout container is sitting on the counter and we can see that it's still half full, like that visually we can, that makes us feel more hungry, right? But if you literally get it out of your sight, put it away, it really will help you to, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you know.
that I never thought about it. One of the doctors at the hospital said, you know what, you can always go to a restaurant and just get half the food, right? When they bring in the service, they, you know, can you just put half in a to-go box? I try that, and they looked at me crazy. They're like, no, we're not gonna do that. So I've noticed that it's the actual internal struggle when I'm trying to really not eat all that food, and then the next thing I know is like, oh, it's gone, right? And that's one of the things that I cannot get over it. Like, seriously, I tried and I tried. That's why I'm doing all those workouts, see if I can burn all that out. But it's just the food is so good. It's really good. But moving on. There's out there a bunch of information when it comes to different types of diet. And one of the ones that it's famous and everybody keeps telling me because they told me to try it out, I can't try it out because I don't think it's going to be good for me. And that's the keto diet. So that brought me to some research. And it took me to the Mayo Clinic. And I found an article with some of the well-known diets out there or meal plans. Now I'm gonna read a couple of them to you, and you tell me in your expertise is that good for me? Is that okay for me? Or no, don't even try that. And I'm going to start with the first one. It's called the Whole 30. Now, apparently, this, how it works, is that for 30 days, no sugar, no alcohol, no grains, no legumes, no dairies, no treats in general are allowed. So that itself, it's making me not try it. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, that sounds like no fun at all. I generally am very wary of any, you know, diet or meal plan that just completely cuts out whole food groups out of the diet. Because again, like I was saying earlier, I mean, all the different food groups, all the different types of food, they all give us different things. They all give us different things that our bodies use, and they're all important to us. So when you have a diet that says, what, no grains, no dairy, no, what else did it, was it?
Yeah, no sugar, no alcohol, no grains, no legumes, no dairy or treats in general.
Yeah, so I mean, right there, you've got no grains, no legumes, no dairy. I mean, you know, that's like three big groups of food right there that provide a lot of good nutrients for us if we're eating them in a healthy way, right? I mean, sure, cutting out things, you know, grains like a Twinkie or a donut. Yeah, I think those are the good kind of grains that you want to kind of cut out of your diet. But cutting out grains like quinoa or brown rice or couscous, you know, those things that have fiber and B vitamins and different nutrients that they're giving you. I don't see any reason to cut out those foods.
Okay. So it says here that you can eat meat, seafood, and eggs now, and vegetables, plenty, some fruit, not all fruit, but some fruit and natural fats. So that to me sounds like a contradiction, because you're saying no sugar, but you're saying I can eat plenty of food, and fruits are sugar because they're carbs, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Fruits have naturally occurring sugar in them. They're healthy for us in moderation, but you know, again, you wouldn't want to eat 10 servings of fruit in a day.
Okay. So the verdict of the Mayo Clinic is not only does it cut out foods that most Americans should eat less of, like added sugars, but also eliminates healthy foods, including whole grains, dairy, and legumes. More sustainable approach, do not cut out food groups, enjoy the variety, including desserts, as long as it's occasional. So there you go. Yeah, so even the Mayo Clinic is agreeing with you. That's why you're here and as the expert. Because if I didn't know this, I will seriously, I will go insane, because my body craves sugar. That's what one of the things that I've noticed, that I can leave certain foods. Like if I don't eat meat for a day, I'll be like, oh, I'm okay with meat. But I need to have some sugar. Even in my cup of coffee before, when I was younger, I used to put like eight pack of sugars in my coffee, and like one third or one fourth of cream. Yeah, I used to drink a lot of sugar, and I used to have a lot of sugar. That's why I almost gained up to 200 pounds too. But then I noticed that when I cut the sugars, I was grouchy, and I was like, oh, like, don't touch me and don't talk to me, because I'm, you know, but I was really, really in a bad mood. And somebody told me, like, dude, are you still drinking you're eating your sugar? And I said, no, I cut it. And they're like, well, you should start back on it again, because it really got me in a bad mood. Seriously.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the other thing that I don't like about this Whole 30 is that they specifically say no treats. I mean, that's just mean.
I know.
I mean, that's just your diet plan should not be a punishment. there should always be room for a treat once in a while.
That's how I felt like. Like when I read that right now, I just imagined no eating a Long John. Are you kidding me? Because that's like every time I go to my gas station to get my coffee, I'm like, oh, there's a Long John. I'm going to eat the Long John or the cupcakes. No, I couldn't do that. Okay, next diet, the ketogenic diet or the keto diet. It says, bring on the bacon. This high-fat, very low-carbohydrate diet typically means eating fewer than 50 grams of carbs a day, less than 4 slices of bread worth. 50 grams, less than 50 grams a day. That is crazy. Can you explain to us first, what is a gram, or how does this carb, because it's 50 grams of carb, how is this, what does this mean technically?
Yeah, that is kind of hard to put into. I think they compare it to what, 4 slices of bread? Is that what they say?
Yeah, less than 4 slices of bread.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's basically, it's less than 4 servings of carb food. So, you know, 4 slices of bread, 4 small apples, 4, you know, actually only 2 bananas. So yeah, it's a very, very small amount of carbs. Generally, when we talk about carbs in grams, which really most people, you know, shouldn't need to worry too much about, but a serving of carbs is considered 15 grams. So that would be your slice of bread, your, you know, half a cup of rice, your small apple, things like that.
All right. So when it comes to that and different health issues, if I read Bring in the Bacon and it just talks about high fat and mm-hmm. I have a heart problem, I feel like I'm signing my death sentence because I feel like my arteries are going to clog and I'm going to just choke at one of the workouts.
You know, not only for people with heart problems, but really for anybody. The ketogenic diet just is something that I don't really recommend. I mean, just because of the fact that A, it's so relatively new that there's not even a lot of research done into what the long-term effects of following that diet are. So we don't even really know, like, you know, how it's affecting people in the long term. The only condition where there's solid research for using the ketogenic diet is actually epilepsy. And a lot of times, so like children with epilepsy, they might have a specialist dietitian working with them very closely into, you know, to following this very, very strict diet. But beyond that, you know, just for you and me and anyone else, you know, out there that's just, you know, looking for a diet to follow to maybe lose some weight, I would not recommend this diet. It's very restrictive. Like you said, it's, you know, less than 50 grams of carbs per day. I mean, it's almost impossible to do. Most people who actually, you know, are trying to follow this diet are not even really in the quote state of ketosis that this diet is supposed to cause, right? Because mm-hmm. you would have to be monitored by a medical professional to even be able to tell you if that's what your body was doing.
Yeah, and I've known a lot of people that have tried this diet, and like I said, they look miserable.
It doesn't seem like it's a lot of fun. Now, I'm sure that some of them probably did lose some weight.
But so there's this thing that I heard that it's called a bounce back. You might lose the weight, but how with this diet, how quickly do you gain it back? Because, I mean, it seems like you're not actually changing any habits whatsoever when it comes to your eating.
Yeah, I mean, just like with any, I mean, you know, any quote-unquote diet, right? I mean, we don't want to really take on any sort of a diet that is not sustainable, right? If we're making changes to the way that we eat, we want those to be changes that we can just, you know, continue on with and to make lifelong healthy habits. But saying, okay, I'm just going to follow this diet for just a few weeks. Well, what's going to happen when you stop following the diet?
Yeah.
Right. There's bounce back.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of doctors who actually operate on people to lose the weight, the stomach band. Is that what I think it's called?
The lap band. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that they ask the patient is to actually try to change their eating habits first for, I think, 3 to 6 months before they do the surgery.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, I feel like that's a key, and that could be for any one of us, because we need to change that habit of eating. And I know that's the hardest part, but that's, I think, what helps the most, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Making changes that are habits that you think you can continue in the long term, you know. So, you know, for me, I know personally to say, oh, I'm going to, you know, try to follow this ketogenic diet, this low, low carb. I mean, I don't think I would last a day on that. But when I think about, you know, healthy changes that I just want to make in my life in general to say, okay, you know, I really want to incorporate more fiber into my diet. And to do that, I'm going to add an extra, you know, serving of vegetables every other day, right? You know, just kind of thinking of those smaller changes that are more likely to stick, right? Because they're things that you can actually stick with.
Now, another one of the diets that we're mentioning is the anti-inflammatory diet. While there is no single anti-inflammatory diet out there, the general approach is a balanced diet full of fresh, wholesome foods. The diet calls for a lot of colorful fruits and vegetables, whole grains, fish, tea, instead of coffee, and even dark chocolate and red wine. fast food off the menu. Now, this one sounds more reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably go with that one. The only downfall for me would be no coffee. I need a coffee. That's like, I'm a junkie for that.
Well, you know, and I like the sound of this diet a lot better as well, because it definitely seems like it's more realistic, and it seems like there's a little bit more wiggle room, right? I mean, they're not telling you never, don't ever eat this or don't ever eat that, right? It's saying get more of this food group, get more of that food group. I'm of the personal belief that you can individualize anything to yourself, right? So if you wanted to follow this diet with the one exception that you're going to have coffee instead of tea, I would say go for it.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That sounds better. I can probably do that. And the last one they actually cover was the intermittent fasting. Now, there are two common approaches to fasting. One is to eat very few calories on a certain days, then eat normally the rest of the time. The others involve eating only during certain hours and skipping meals for the rest of each day. Now, this one, what do you think?
Yeah, intermittent fasting. You know, when I was growing up, they called it skipping breakfast.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, that's all it is, right? It's either reducing the amount of hours you eat per day, so basically skipping a meal, or yeah, I guess the more extreme version is where you go, you know, only eat on more on certain days and less on other days. Uh-huh. At its core, intermittent fasting is you're eating less often, so you're eating less, right?
But I read somewhere that if you actually stop eating certain meals during the day, your body goes into starvation mode, which makes you collect more fat. Is that correct?
That can happen, right? If we do start to really, you know, put our bodies at such a calorie deficit, right, that we've already burned up all of our carbs and, you know, we've already, you know, kind of like burned up all of our energy and we haven't eaten anything into a while, then yeah, it can kind of, you know, our body goes into this, exactly like you said, a starvation mode, and it's going to want to hold on to the fat. And then what's going to happen that you really don't want to happen is you're going to start burning up some of your muscle for energy. And we don't want to do that. We want to keep our muscles, not lose our muscles.
Yeah. And again, that's one of the things that I actually noticed when I started working out, because I was doing so much. My body was already, first of all, screaming of soreness because they're like, dude, you haven't worked out in almost 3 years. Now you want just going to go full throttle. That's crazy. So I was already hurting. But then I noticed that I was actually not having enough energy and I was not gaining muscle, like I said. So I'm thinking there's something I'm doing wrong. And because I thought I'm not an expert. If I work out more, it's going to be better. No, it actually was a lot worse. So again, I'm going back to the original question. One of the things that I did wrong was, first of all, I didn't know anything about food, plain and simple. So now with this diet, it seems like the one I'm going to follow the best, if I decide to do a diet, it's the anti-inflammatory diet.
Yeah, that anti-inflammatory diet. I mean, and I think it even said, the Mayo Clinic said, right, that it's not even like one sort of specific, you know, diet that you follow. It's more of just sort of like general guidelines. It's very similar to the Mediterranean diet that's very popular, again, which is another one of those diets that's not very strict or rigid. It's just all about, you know, encouraging more foods from certain groups. So, you know, whole plant-based foods, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, getting the healthy fats in. So from things like olive oil and canola oil, nuts and seeds, and trying to get less of the fats that come from, you know, saturated fat. So, you know, bacon and sausage and, you know, fried foods and things like that.
That's actually very informative because I completely forgot about the two different types of fat, the trans fat and the other fat. And I don't know if you can elaborate more on that. Because again, when I go out, I see McDonald's and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get the healthy diet, you know, and the next thing I know, I'm getting a sausage McGriddle and I'm like, oh, I hope I didn't eat a lot of trans fat. So how can I distinguish one or the other, one from the other?
Say that last part again. I'm sorry.
How can I distinguish from one or the other? Because again, in my experience, I've heard that olive oil is better than coconut oil, but then somebody else comes and like, oh no, coconut oil is a lot better than olive oil, but no, corn oil is. I'm like, dude, seriously, just let me have some oil. That's it. You know what? I'll use the spray. That's it. Whatever. I'm done.
Coconut oil is sort of its own in its own little category, and I won't get into that too much today, just because there's lots of different opinions on coconut oil, but in general, you've got two main categories of fats, and that's saturated and unsaturated. Saturated fats tend to come more from animal products. So you've got your fat that's in dairy, right? You know, cheese and milk fat, things like that. You've got the fat that's in beef, you know, meat. You get a steak and you can actually see the fat that's right in there, right? You know, chicken, a lot of the fat's in the skin, right? Unsaturated fats, on the other hand, tend to come more from plant-based foods, so not animal-based sources. So olive oil is very healthy, like you mentioned. Avocados are actually a big source of unsaturated fat. Nuts are a source of fat. That's why, you know, nuts are great for us, but we got to remember that they've got a lot of fat, so they have a lot of calories, so we just want to keep the serving size small. But yeah, but so those are the unsaturated fats. So unsaturated fats, like olive oil, tend to be more heart-healthy, whereas saturated fats, like that come from meat and cheese and things like that, tend to be unhealthy for our heart.
See, now that makes more sense. So because now I'm going to start cooking with any different oil that it's or fat that it's not from animal fat. Because again, lard, we use lard a lot. And when we do our sopes, we use lard and it tastes so good. Dear God, it tastes so good. But
oh, I bet.
now like I'm gonna die of a heart attack. So I don't wanna do that. Just, you know, before we close up, the reason why I invited you here is because during the month of June, we're gonna have a competition with my sponsors that are called Hemworks. They're a company of CBD and they have this sprays as enhancers of metabolism. So you can get more energy and you can burn the fat and you can lose the weight. So that's the competition. There's gonna be two winners, $125 for each one if they win, men and women. And then I have my own group that I'm going to motivate. And I wanted to educate them good and with a good idea of what to eat and how to eat and all the information that we gathered today. But they actually, one of my friends said to me, I bet I can lose more weight than you can. And I said, you're on, because I am not going to back down. All right. I grew up watching Rocky and I'm the underdog and I'm not going to give up. So he dared me that if he wins, I have to get a tattoo. I haven't taken the bet.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm really considering taking the bet because I really want to get a tattoo. But I'm a chicken when it comes to needles. So maybe this can motivate me. But I'm gonna continue doing my regular workout that I used to do before, the 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and all that stuff. So if I'm going to work out as much as I did before, now knowing all this information, what will be the better food for me to eat so I can not gain the weight but lose weight, where I can get cut and lean and look like Bruce Lee? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, that's a tough question because there's, you know, there's not really like a magic food I can tell you, oh, this is the one that you gotta eat, right?
Uh-huh.
It's really going to be more about trying to get the balance in your diet, get the different food groups in, make sure you're getting enough protein. You know, just like you said before, you were worried that you were, you know, like slimming down too much, but not building enough muscle. So, you know, maybe even getting a little bit more calories and protein around your workouts might be a good idea.
Got it. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you stuck around at the end of the podcast, you'll know now that it's not about diets. If you're going to do a diet, we concurred that it's going to be the anti-inflammatory because it's balanced on all concepts and all groups of food, but also it's individualized and just make healthier choices. That's pretty much what it comes down to. Is that what I'm getting at the end?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if I had to sum up what I think is here's the diet that I want everyone to follow, right? I would say try to get as many foods that come from plants as you can. Try to eat foods in as much in their natural state as you can, right? So whole foods. So think of an apple and an apple pie, right? One is just as it comes from nature and the other one is processed. So try to eat the foods as close as it is that they come from nature. and try to get a good variety, get different food groups, get different, you know, different colors on your plate, different colors of fruits and vegetables. You know, get a good balance to your meals. And that's what I would recommend to everybody.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me today. It's been my pleasure to have you as a guest. And
oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm, like I said, I'm so honored.
Of my podcast. And like I said, I work in others, but this is my baby. I'm making this from scratch, and I wanna educate people out there when it comes to the daily things that we do, right?
Well, only that maybe next time I will actually be able to join you in Espanol, pero porque yo estudiando mucho.
Vaya pues. You know what? A lot of people don't know out there what I do for a living, and you're not going to know because I'm not going to tell you. A lot of people are like, what do you do for a living? I mug people. That's what I do. All right? Leave it alone. But yes, once this whole thing is over, you know what? We can actually do it live. We keep our distance of 6 feet, and there's less than 10 people. We're good. So maybe we can set that up. We can wear a mask. Think about it. All right, guys. Thank you for joining me for my first segment, and I'll talk to you next time.
Bye. And-